Wonderful, wonderful Christmas week and good time with family and friends and too much food like me. On that note, my New Year resolution from last year was to lose 10 pounds, and I only have 15 to go, so I got a couple days to get there. We're glad you're here today. We actually have a guest pastor today. Pastor Rob is feeling a little bit under the weather, and on very short notice, he was able to find someone who has preached with us before, and it's fantastic. So I want to introduce, I'm going to say it slowly, Dennis Fuquay. Boom is here. Let's give him a round of applause, right? Just on very short notice, he raised his hand and said, "Here I am, send me," and we're excited to hear from him today. He's going to tell us a little bit more about himself when he gets up here to preach. With that, I've got a few announcements to share with you. New Year's Day, coming up quickly. The Gathering, our adult ministry, is getting together. There's a flyer with details on the sign-up table. And then June 15th to 22nd is El Salvador. And we have 18 people signed up already with room for more. So if you've been praying about that, if you have questions about it, you can see Mark DeFrancisco or Miguel or Shelley and ask kind of what that looks like. But was chatting with Mark a little bit this morning, and they just continue to have great plans and great relationships down there and really doing amazing work for the folks down there. And again, I'll tell you, going on a mission trip, there's amazing work that will be done in you as well if you're interested. And please, a reminder, reminder, reminder for all of us, let's continue to be in prayer. Not just for the ministry going down there in El Salvador, but for the team that's making plans, that's going to be away from family, that's spending money out of their own pocket. Let's keep them in prayer as well. And on that note, if you have signed up or even if you're interested, next Sunday is going to be information meeting following the service. Okay, I know that I've got 10% of your attention span usually, but this is an important one. Dial My Call is a service that we use to communicate if there is a weather crisis happening on any Sunday. So if you have, many, many, many of you have, but if you have yet to sign up for that, and what happens is basically a text message that will come out, right, boss? Right. So a text, email, and a phone call. And what needs to happen is that you need to make sure that you've filled out one of these cards, which are right on the information table on the right-hand side. So if you're fairly new, please get one of those filled out. If you have questions, you can certainly see Tiffany. Raise your hand, Tiffany. Raise your hand. See Tiffany if you have questions on that one. This also is the last day for year-end giving, so if you want to get that done for 2025, today is the day. And again, as always, information on all the ministries going on are on our information table. And speaking of prayer, before we get to prayer, a church like this has a great need for volunteers. So many of you are volunteering, many of you in multiple ministries. If you've yet to kind of find your calling, please see the table out there for opportunities. Children's ministry is kind of a pressing need right now. And again, the ministry leaders really work hard to make sure that it's not a massive burden, that we just get a little bit of your time and it's a blessing to you. For participating in that. So if interested, please see the information table. And with that, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your day that we can gather corporately, Father, and worship you and praise you and be in prayer and hear and be equipped with your word. We're thankful for Pastor Dennis coming to share with us today. I just pray your Holy Spirit would work in him to articulate the message that you've given him for us today. I pray that your Spirit would work within us, Father, to open our ears, to open our hearts, to open our souls, Father, to the message that you have for us through him. I want to pray for all of our ministries, active ministries this morning, from information table to children's ministry to greeters, to ushers, and just on and on and on. What an amazing body your church is, and we're thankful that we've got a functioning body throughout, and we've got those with a heart not only to come and attend in fellowship, but to serve one another and serve it to your glory. Father, much to pray about. We We always want to pray for our leaders and for the persecuted church. And on that note, I just want to pray for our leaders' decision-making as they deal with this crisis in Nigeria. And again, these are headlines that just aren't regularly out there for us to see the atrocities that are happening in Nigeria and around the world, Lord. And we know that action was taken this last week, and we just pray, like I said, for wisdom for our leaders. Father, this is done in the right way. This is done without innocents being harmed or put in danger, Father. But we pray for this evil to be taken away from folks of the Christian faith and just regular residents, Father, that are under this thumb of corruption and unlawfulness, Lord. And we pray for just all of the saints around the world, Lord, that stand up for you, that are strong in their faith, that regardless of the danger or the persecution, Father, have no other choice but to stand up and say, I choose to follow Jesus, and I choose to act with my entire life in his name, Father. So give them strength, give them safety, give them blessings, Father, for being so bold in their faith. And Lord, we lift up the rest of this day to you. We thank you again for who you are, for your amazing love for us, for this wonderful, amazing gift of Jesus. And we pray in his glorious, magnificent name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, Steve, and Merry Christmas to you all. I know Steve said it once, but I'm going to say it again because, you know, even though we just got done celebrating the Christmas season, I hope that it doesn't end here and that we get to continue celebrating Jesus every day. We're going to take a little time to worship now as we head into the message. And as you can see, I'm up here by myself. Everybody else gets the day off, and I'm fighting a little something too. So I'm going to encourage you all and rely on you all to sing out loud and strong as we worship our King. But let's sing about Jesus. The rock won't move.
When the ground beneath my feet gives way, and I hear the sound of the crashing waves, all my world is washing out to sea. Hidden safe in the God who never moves, holding fast to the promise of your truth, that you are holding tight and still to me. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock of our salvation. My hope is in the promise of your blood, my support within the raging flood. Even in the tempest I can sing. I'm hidden safe in the God who never moves, holding fast to the promise of your truth, that you are holding tighter still to me. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock of our salvation. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, the rock of our salvation. Christ, the solid rock, I stand on the ground is sinking sand. The rock won't move. No, the rock won't move. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest in his unchanging grace. The rock won't move. No, the rock won't move. On Christ the solid rock I stand on the ground, the sinking sand. The rock won't move. No, the rock won't move. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. The rock won't move. No, the rock won't move. God won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock of our salvation. Whoa. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. That you lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Jesus, thank you so much for the amazing grace that you just shower upon us, Lord. Lord, we don't deserve any of it, but that's what grace is, something that's not deserved. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time now. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you, Jesus, that we can celebrate Christmas not just one day a year, but every day, and say Merry Christmas to each other and Happy Birthday, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time now and pray that this time in your word would change us, that we wouldn't come away the same as we were before, Lord, but that you would use it to change your people. We pray these things and praise you, Lord, in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. And now I would like to invite Dennis to come up and to share the word with us.
Excellent. Well, then it works out.
So I think I just turned this microphone off. There we go. Good. All right. Well, good morning. So how many of you are doing, on a scale from 1 to 10 right now, how many of you are doing between 7 and 10? Raise your hand. All right? Good. Well, my first goal is not to ruin that. Okay? We want you better when you leave than when you got here. Amen? So, yeah, Pastor Rob and I have been friends for years, and actually preached here a time or two in the past. And so I got a message from him yesterday saying, I feel like there's a couple golf balls in my throat instead of glands. Are you available to preach tomorrow? And I said, well, years ago I was taught, always be ready to preach, pray, or die. So I thought this was the best option right here, you know, so... So it's a privilege to be here. I appreciate and honor Rob, and appreciate you as a congregation and what you're doing, what the good plans that the Lord has for you in the future. Can we go ahead and get this? Do I need to do something more here? Testing 1, 2. Oh, look at that. Good. So, I've been in Vancouver area for the last 26 years, moved down in 2000. Prior to that, for the rest of my life, I lived in Gig Harbor, Washington. Any of you lived in Gig Harbor? Bent past through Gig Harbor, at least, okay? And I pastored there for 25 years. I told someone earlier, and then they found out after 25 years, so I had to make an exit. No, that's not true. I was invited to be the director of another ministry that was headquartered out of Multnomah School of the Bible, or Multnomah University at the time. And so I moved on down here in 2000, and that ministry was begun by Dr. Joe Aldrich, the then president of Multnomah in the last portion of the last century, called International Renewal Ministries. And International Renewal Ministries encourages pastors from various streams, various denominations, various races, various ages, etc., to get away for typically 3 days just simply to pray together. And that event is called the Pastor's Prayer Summit. And so for the last 25 or so years, actually since 1990, I've been facilitating prayer summits. And then the man, Terry Dirks, who was giving leadership to that ministry, died suddenly, and I say without permission. He was in Japan sharing the ministry of International Renewal Ministries and Pastors Prayer Summits, and he literally went to sleep at night and woke up in heaven. A good way to go, but it leaves the rest of us down here in rather confusion. And so a couple months later, I got a phone call saying, Dennis, is there any reason why you shouldn't become the director of International Renewal Ministries? And that put me on a pathway of about six weeks or so of seeking the Lord, and the Lord made it very clear that this was the next assignment that he had for me. Along the way, I've also begun another ministry called Clark County Prayer Connect. Clark County Prayer Connect's purpose is to encourage more strategic, united prayer by and for the people of Clark County. We can't expect the people in Nashville, Tennessee, to have a burden for Clark County like we do. Amen? This is our turf. God is going to ask us questions about how we did things here to see the kingdom of God advance. And so that's another ministry that we've been engaged in as well. And there's a variety of activities for that. So when I'm in town, I wear the hat of Clark County Prayer Connect. And when I go out of town, I wear the hat of International Renewal Ministries. And so I was delighted when Rob contacted me. I was in town, and so I said I'd be happy to come and preach. And so I talked to Rob a little bit about the options that were in my mind about what I could share. And when I mentioned the message that I'm going to share this morning, he said, ah, that's the one. That's the one. So if this isn't the one, you talk to Rob, okay? He's the one who poked this button, all right? I want to talk to you about Joe. I want to encourage you to be an average Joe. Actually, an average, extraordinary Joe. There are Josephs mentioned in Scripture, and I'm going to be preaching from a Joseph from Scripture. And you might be thinking, well, it's right after Christmas, and Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, doesn't get a lot of play. And so maybe that's the Joseph that he's going to be talking about. Well, that Joseph is worthy of preaching about. Amen? Noble man, honorable man, good man. We don't know very much about him at all, but he was an honorable man. But that's not the Joe that I'm going to be speaking about. Well, you might be thinking, well, the Joe in the Old Testament, the Joseph in the Old Testament, That must be the one, the one who was sold as a slave down into Egypt and fled Potiphar's wife and all of that. He deserves a series of messages. What a tremendous man that Joseph was. Joseph, Genesis chapter 20, chapter 50, verse 20, wonderful verse. Could be a memory verse for you next week if you like. It says this. It says, Joseph was talking to his brothers who sold him down into Egypt, and they said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Isn't that a line? Other people may mean things as evil for you, but God meant it for good. Well, it's not that Joseph either. We'll be talking about a Joseph in the New Testament that you know fairly well. In fact, this Joseph, had a greater impact upon the Church of Jesus Christ over the nations than either of the other Joes. Now, I say how to be an average, extraordinary Joe, because Joe was just an average guy, but because he surrendered to God, he did extraordinary things. Amen? So this is within our reach. You see, the average of the New Testament believer is an extraordinary thing then and now. So I encourage you to just live an average Christian life, not average according to our standards, but average according to the Scripture standards, and you will make a tremendous impact. The Joe I'm talking about is in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 introduces him here. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. Do you know the Joe I'm talking about? Well, you know him as Barnabas. A Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. Why? They gave him the nickname Barnabas because he was such an encourager. He encouraged the saints to move on in their relationship with the Lord. And what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you some aspects of Joseph's life that made him a tremendous encourager, that made him the kind of person that the apostles, when they were around him, they said, okay, we're not going to call you Joseph anymore. We're going to call you Barney. We're going to call you Barnabas because you're such an encourager. Encouragement is something that everybody in the body of Christ needs, and everybody in the body of Christ can give. Do you guys say amen ever? Do you ever say amen? There's a great opportunity right there, and I was just curious, okay? So that was rehearsal. Let's do it again. Encouragement is something that everybody in the body of Christ needs, and everybody, are you ready? Everybody in the body of Christ can give. So go and do it. Let's pray. That's the sermon right there. So I want to share with you five different things that Joseph did that caused the disciples, the apostles, to say, you are such an encourager. And my hope is that, as has been prayed, that I and we would leave this meeting this morning with a greater ability and commitment to encourage the saints, to encourage one another. So the first thing is that he stepped up. He said he was one of several believers at that time in Acts chapter 4 who sold property and came and, quote, literally laid at the apostles' feet so the apostles could then distribute that to those in need. Joseph, Barnabas stepped up. When we see something, when we see a need, we can be a great encouragement when we step up. Now, I need to communicate here. I am not seeing on this screen what I'm seeing on this screen. Have I done something wrong? I should say just, what have I done wrong? We should start there. Okay? I can't hear you. Which screen should I be on? Well, go to Acts chapter 9, okay? That would be the next slide. Okay, nope, yeah, that one, okay? I'll tell you what we'll do. Instead of using my PowerPoint, I will use this PowerPoint, right, like that. That's a real PowerPoint, okay? We'll do that. Another place where Barnabas stepped up, and this, because of this, these verses right here, and what Barnabas did in these verses, this is how he became one of, if not the most influential person apart from Jesus Christ in the New Testament, because of what he did right here. Acts chapter 9 is the story of how Paul is converted on the road to Damascus. He's in Damascus, and he causes a ruckus there, so they lower him down. He becomes a basket case, right? Thank you. I appreciate that. Some people got it. They lowered him down over the wall in a basket. He then departs, and he goes to Jerusalem, and he knocks on the apostles' door. When he, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Look at those next two words. But Barnabas. But Barnabas. Barnabas stepped up not only in selling his property and laying it at the disciples' feet, he also stepped up when he saw somehow, I don't know how he did it, but somehow he had had some conversation, he had had some contact with this crazy Christian-killing guy by the name of Saul, and he'd heard some stories about him. Maybe he had changed, and Barnabas risked it, and he reached out to him, and he brought him to the apostles. I think you can make a strong argument that that line right there, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, that plus another thing that we'll see in Acts chapter 11 in just a minute. I think you can make a strong argument that says this act right here is what allowed about half or more than half of the New Testament to be written. If Barnabas would have said, I don't want anything to do with that guy. Matthew, James, Peter, etc. You're right. We shouldn't trust him. Get rid of this guy. I think that this is one of the acts that Barnabas did that brought Paul to the point of being able to be the author of 13 books of the New Testament. Plus, we'll see in a bit, plus the book of Mark as well. Not Paul wrote Mark, but Barnabas encouraged Mark as well. Barnabas told them, the apostles, how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Have you ever taken a risk with someone and said, no, wait a minute. Maybe his past reputation, maybe what she's done in the past is not a definition of what they're going to do in the future. Okay? Maybe there's someone in your life that you need to help step them up. You need to step in so that they can step up. Amen? So stepping up, when you see a need or when you sense a nudge from God, go for it. We need more and more people who will be encouragers, who will be sons of encouragement like Barnabas was, simply by saying, okay, I'm all in and I'm willing to risk it that this person, maybe they're not as bad as what we've heard about. Let's bring them in as well. Let's encourage them in their walk with Jesus. So the first thing that Barnabas did, and something that we can do, is he stepped up. The second thing is, you just got to get the right snap. I'll get it down. I'll get it down pretty soon. The second thing that Barnabas did is he I said it here in the present tense, seek out. Step up, seek out. Now I'm thinking about Acts chapter 11. Let's go to Acts 11. What happened in Acts 11 just before these verses is that there was great persecution in the church like from chapter 6, 7, and 8, right in there. 9, Paul gets converted. Chapter 10, Cornelius, is the story of Cornelius and all. And then chapter 11, about in just a few verses prior to these verses, some people go to Antioch of Syria. Antioch of Syria. And they share the good news there. And things really are perking. It's a Jesus movement. There is they have guitars on the beach in Antioch, as it were. From there's just a good Jesus movement that's happening there, and Jerusalem hears about it, and they say, we better check this out. Now Antioch became, okay, in the early days of the church, Jerusalem was the main city of influence. The second main city of influence became Antioch. And what happened in and around Antioch is stunning. I wish we had time to amplify that more. We'll refer to it a little bit later. But what happened in Antioch was tremendous. And the beginning of that the movement of God in Antioch began by a couple unnamed people, a few unnamed disciples. In Acts chapter 11, I think it's around 19:20, right in there, where they come from Cyprus and another city that I can't remember right now, and they come over to Antioch. They share the good news, and it registers. People embrace it. And in this excitement, word gets down to Jerusalem. They send their best up. They send Barnabas up. News of this, that revival, reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, of what the grace of God had done, he was glad, and he did what? He encouraged them. He encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. You become a Barnabas just simply by encouraging people to hang in there. Keep on going. Continue to follow Jesus with all your heart. That's how you become an encourager. Remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man. We need more and more good men, good women. When I say amen, very appropriate. We need more good men, amen, many men. He was a good man. We need more and more people who are just simply committed to do good. Not to earn our relationship with God, but because of our relationship with God. The believers in a community should be the best people in the community. They should be the ones who speak well, who of one another, who are generous people, who love well. Those are the kind of things that believers just naturally should do. When we do that, that's the average thing of a believer, but it's an extraordinary thing, and we can become that encourager. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Can't do it on our own. We need supernatural power. We need the presence of the living God in us, flowing through us. Having just come through Christmas, we thought a lot about Emmanuel. Amen? God with us. There's something far better than Emmanuel. What could possibly be better than God with us? God in us. God in us. Full of faith and the Holy, or full of the Holy Spirit and faith. We need to regularly be filled with the Holy Spirit. What that means is we can't be full of anything else. We can't be full of ourselves. We can't be full of our plans, our decisions, our stuff. One of the first things that it means that we're full of the Holy Spirit is that we're not full of ourselves. Barnabas was a good man, and he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He was committed to saying, if God says it, I believe it. And that settles it. He was full of faith. He believed God. He believed what he said. Well, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Evangelism happens when believers are just average because we're extraordinary people. And Barnabas in Antioch says, wow, this is something really good. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So Barnabas not only stepped up, but he also sought out. Another step is we are to seek out other people. And Barnabas remembered this guy, Saul. And this was years after he'd met Saul in Acts chapter 9. Saul had been it was probably a dozen or 13, 14 years later. Saul had been, the church bought a one-way ticket for Saul to go back home to Tarsus. Because he just caused a ruckus everywhere he went. He still did that afterwards as well. But Barnabas remembered there was this guy. I think he lived in Tarsus. So Barnabas goes to Tarsus. Now, Tarsus is not like, you know, battleground in Vancouver. Tarsus was a couple hundred miles away. And so Barnabas takes a week to get there. He didn't have his address. He'd lost his cell phone number. He didn't have a way of contacting him. And so he goes to Tarsus. He just starts asking around, finds Saul, and brings him back to Antioch. And for a year, Barnabas and Saul, they're investing in, they're training, they're encouraging the saints in Antioch. They're training people to do what Barnabas had been doing, stepping up and seeking out. And see, if Barnabas hadn't, in Acts chapter 9, been the guy to say, Paul, or Saul at the time, Saul, I want you to come. I will introduce you to the apostles. If Barnabas hadn't been the guy who, years later, went and found Saul and brought him back and trained him with him, I don't think we would have had the Paul who wrote Romans, who wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I don't think we would have read any letters that Paul wrote. Now, God can do it a different way. He certainly can. But the person that he used was Barnabas. If there wouldn't have been a Barnabas, I don't think there would be a Paul as we know him. Simple things. Step up. Seek out. So seeking out, when you're doing something worthwhile, ask others to join you. That's discipleship. Okay? When you're doing something, when you're engaged in some activity that's worthwhile, teaching something, building something, whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do, when you're engaged in some kind of kingdom activity, invite someone else to join you. That's what Barnabas did, and we got a Paul because of that. The third one is to give out. To give out. In Acts chapter 13, you guys are good. You know, the audio video guys, they only get attention when things go wrong. I'm giving you attention because you're doing it just right. Well done. Good job. So, oh, well, hold on. Wait a minute. You clapped like someone just made a putt. We should clap like someone just scored a touchdown. Come on, give them some glory. Yeah, good. Well done. So, Acts chapter 13. Now, Paul and Barnabas, and we'll get back to when they were called on this, but Paul and Barnabas are toward the end of their first missionary journey. They're in another Antioch right now. They're in Pisidian Antioch, which is a different, you know, there's Syrian Antioch, and this is in sort of centralish Turkey is where it is in modern day. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, which he normally did, the missionary journeys, they went into the synagogue, talked to the Jews first. The people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas to talk with them and urge them to continue on in the grace of God. So Paul and Barnabas were encouraging them to continue on. But it took time. They probably had other things to do. They probably had other things that they could give themselves to, but they gave of themselves. They gave of their time. Many of the Jews and devout followed Paul and Barnabas and talked with them. It wasn't convenient. Encouragement and convenience don't often go together. Oftentimes, encouragement is real inconvenient, but you if you just give of yourself and give out, it works well. And then Acts chapter 14, now they're in a different city. They're in Iconium now. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message by his grace and enabled them to do signs and wonders. You know, one of the most important things we have in life that we can give to someone is time. Just time. And Paul and Barnabas understood that giving time to this person would encourage them to continue on in their walk with Jesus. So give out. Plan on giving much more than you receive. Encouragement is not only inconvenient, it's expensive. It's expensive as well. It cost Barnabas his whole field, price of his whole field. But when we encourage like that, when we do simple acts, stepping up, seeking out, giving out, when we do simple things like that, God uses those simple acts not only to disciple other people, but to encourage them along the way. And someday, someone might change your name and say, we're going to call you Barney. Now, that might not sound like a real compliment. I'm not sure. In fact, here, I got a quick story. How many of you remember who Jack Hayford was? Okay, great pastor in Southern California. I heard Jack tell this story. He was encouraging the people to see that they were really saints before the Lord, holy before the Lord. So he said, stand right now and turn to one another and just get in groups of three and just introduce yourself as saint, and then you put your first name in there. Guy said, well, okay, I'll do that. So Jack steps on down, and the first guy, he says, well, yeah, I'm Saint Matthew. And Jack says, whoa, nice to meet you. Turns to the other guy. The guy says, well, you know, I'd really rather not do that. And Jack says, no, it's okay. It's okay, you can do it. So Jack finally convinced him to do it. He said, well, I'm Saint Bernard. So whatever your name is, be an encourager. Encourage other people. Step up, seek out, give out. The other thing, a fourth thing that Barnabas did was keep at it. Keep at it. Look at these scriptures here. Again, in Acts chapter 13, they're in Iconium. Quite a move of God is happening in Iconium here at this point. And Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. Some Jews were resisting them. Answered them boldly, and they said, we had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected it and don't consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we're now turning to the Gentiles. Soon after that, just a few verses after that, it says the word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women and the women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region, so they shook the dust of their feet off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. Paul and Barnabas experienced probably more rejection than they did acceptance. But they didn't let the rejection hinder them from God's call. How can you be an encouragement to other people? Just keep at it. Keep at it. Yeah, if you know the call of God in your life, don't let other people's response to you hinder your response to God. Continue to do what he's called you to do. Keep at it. So the simple thing is this: anticipate rejection. Don't be surprised if people don't like you. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like Paul. They didn't like Barnabas. Are we better than them? That was a question. Are we better than them? No, we're not. No. So Jesus said, if they treated me badly, they're going to treat you badly as well. So don't let rejection hinder you from continuing on in your calling. Now, the other side of that is don't be a jerk. Don't live in such a way that people will respond to you negatively based on your personality rather than the message, okay? Rather than the calling. But don't give up just because some people don't like you. That's hard. That's hard. I pastored for 25 years, and when someone would, in a less than gracious way, communicate to me something that they didn't like about what I did, that hurts. That damaged myself. And so you just got to go back before the Lord and say, okay, God, okay, since you called me to this, what do we do about this? How do we how do we handle this? Okay. So, how do you be a Barnabas? How do you be an encourager? How do you contribute to the encouragement of the body of Christ? You step up. You seek out. You give out. You keep at it. And finally, you lift up. Lift up others. Here we are in Acts chapter 13 again, the beginning, but this is now before the first missionary journey. Paul went on 3 missionary journeys, and this is the beginning of all of that. Now, in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Now, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? One of Herod's young playmates was now a follower of Jesus Christ and a key leader in the church of Antioch. And then Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, by the way, when I talk about the privilege I have of being with pastors in different cities and praying with them for a period of time, multiple day prayer summits, I often refer to this verse. I say that the first prayer summit happened with the pastors in Salem, Oregon in 1989, February of 1989. And then I say, no, wait a minute, hold on. The first prayer summit that I know of happened right here in Antioch. Guys getting away just simply to worship the Lord, spend time with Him, fasting, crying out to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So they fasted, they prayed, they placed their hands on them, and they sent them off. And because they did that, we right here in Battleground, Washington, right here in Clark County, Washington, right here at Freedom Church, because they did that, we heard the message of Jesus Christ. This was the beginning of the missionary movement. I was delighted to hear that some of you are going down to El Salvador. Okay. Well done. Good job. If we don't have a heart to see other unreached people groups hear the story of Jesus, we need to dial our heart a little bit and get it in line with God's heart. Because what God is doing is far more than what He's doing here in Battleground. He's doing stuff here. Amen? Okay, He's doing stuff here. But He really has a heart for those people who've never heard the gospel yet. Anything you can do in the area of missions, anything, any money you can give in the area of missions, any time that you can give in the area of missions, that's how to be a Barnabas in the area of unreached people groups. So I want you to notice here, there are 5 men listed. The first guy that's listed is Barnabas, because he was the guy that was really the key leader in the church at Antioch at that time. And who's the last guy listed? Oh, by the way, Saul. Saul too. The apostles really didn't have that much respect for. They didn't have that much confidence in this guy Saul. Again, but Barnabas. But Barnabas went and helped bring him on in. So, the last guy listed and the first guy listed are sent out on a missionary trip. Next slide. Now they're, again, in Pisidian Antioch. Sometime later, Paul and Barnabas. Now, you probably have seen this before, but the order in which these guys' names appear can be significant. It started out Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul, then it was Barnabas and Paul, and then it became Paul and Barnabas. Sometime later, now this is the end, they're now back in Jerusalem. I'm sorry, yeah, I said it wrong. They're now back in Jerusalem, and they're planning, they're wanting to go back and visit the churches that they ministered to at the beginning. Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. They wanted to be encouragers. Barnabas wanted to take John, who's also called Mark. Earlier in Acts 13, in the first missionary journey, they took John Mark with them, and he bailed on them and went back home. So here's Paul's perspective. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with him in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Now, the good news is they didn't break relationship, but they went in different directions. Okay? Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. So the scene is this. Paul says, Barnabas, let's go back and encourage the saints that we had contact with there. And Barnabas says, yeah, that's a great idea. And let's take John Mark with us. Now, we'll see in just a moment here that Mark was a relative of Barnabas's. Some say in the next verse we'll look at, don't go there yet, but in the next verse we'll look at, it says cousin. It was his cousin, or Barnabas was probably his uncle. And we get that from Acts chapter 12, where, remember when Peter was in prison and the angel came and set him free, and they went to Mary's house, one of the many Marys in New Testament, went to Mary's house, and John Mark was involved, and that was John Mark's house as well. And the indication is that Mary was Barnabas' sister, and therefore Mark was Barnabas' nephew. Ain't that a blessing? Okay, we'll continue on. Here's the deal. Barnabas saw something in Paul and nurtured him along the way so that this guy, who was a rough ragtag guy, became the guy that God used more than any other person to get the gospel to the New Testament world. He's the guy that God used to write 13 of the epistles in the New Testament. And Barnabas now looks at John Mark and says, I see the same kind of thing in John Mark that I saw in Paul. And Paul says, I'm not doing that at all. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and that's the last time we hear of Barnabas in the New Testament. Well, excuse me, in the story, in the chronology of the New Testament. But it's not the last time we heard about Mark. Go to Colossians chapter 4. This now, years later, Paul is in a Roman prison writing back to Colossae, the church at Colossians. And he says, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, Mark, the cousin or nephew, whatever, of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. I've told you about this guy, Mark. The last time I spoke about John Mark, it was not in a very positive way. Now, because of the fact that Barnabas encouraged Mark just like he encouraged Paul, now, the next verse says, we don't have it here, but the next verse says, Mark is very useful to me in the advancement of the kingdom. I love the fact that the story of John Mark and Barnabas doesn't end with Paul saying, I'm not having anything to do with that guy. But rather, it ends with Paul saying, hey, if Mark comes to you, welcome him, because he will be useful to you just like he was useful to me. The reason why he ended up being useful to them, the Colossian church, is because of the ministry of Barnabas. We need more Barnabases and Barnabases. What's the feminine of Barnabas? I don't know. But we need more of them. Okay? We need people who will encourage one another, saying, come on, I'm gonna step up so you can step up. I'm going to seek out so that you can seek out. I'm going to give so that you will give. I'm going to keep on going so that you keep on going. And I'm going to lift up others so that you lift up others. That's what Barnabas did. Next slide. So lift up. No need to jockey for position. We don't know. Barnabas didn't. Barnabas was mature enough to go last. He was mature enough to let other people get the credit. He was mature enough to let those people do what they were doing. And he would just, he'd just sort of be in the background, as it were, encouraging people and encouraging people. And because he did, not only do we have the 13 epistles of Paul, we also have the Gospel of Mark. I'm convinced that Barnabas is the reason why Mark grew to the point where he could write the Gospel of Mark. This is the Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark. God's reputation is far more important than our recognition. So look at these five steps here. How did Barnabas become an encourager? How can we become encouragers? Step up, seek out, give out, keep at it, and lift up. Now, there's a verse that Paul writes that says, be an imitator of me as I imitate Jesus. Now, it's not specifically stated, but that's what Barnabas did as well. That could be said of Barnabas. We want to see Barnabas as an encouragement. We want to see Barnabas as a signpost that points us more and more to Jesus. Because, here it is, who is the best guy at doing these five things? Was it Paul? Was it Barnabas? No, it was Jesus. Jesus is the one who stepped up. Amen? In the council of the Trinity, in the council of the Godhead, in their processing. It probably wasn't like this. I haven't seen the video, okay? But I think somewhere at some point, Jesus stepped up and said, I'll go. I will go. I will set aside this godly glory, and I will come down, and I'll wrap myself in human flesh, and I'll take the rejection, and I'll take the suffering. Jesus stepped up. That's what Christmas is about. Amen? Jesus sought out. He says in Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save the lost. Aren't you glad that God came as a seeker? God came and said, where's Dennis? I want Dennis in my family. Not you, Dennis. I'm talking about this. This is me, Dennis. Okay. I want Dennis. Well, okay, you two. Come on, well, the two of us. Okay. I want Dennis in my family. Where is he? He's living up there in a little bit outside of Gig Harbor, Washington. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get his older sister to go to a Lake Sammamish Bible camp at age 12 and give her life to Jesus, and she will get the gospel to Dennis. And by the way, Brother Dick as well. And all three of us, though we were raised by non-believing parents, good parents, but non-believing parents, all three of us kids went into full-time Christian service. That's because God came and sought us out. Jesus came and sought us, and then he gave, and gave, and gave, and gave. Gave his time, gave his reputation, gave his physical comfort, the pain he experienced. He gave even to the point of separation of fellowship between he and the Father, something that had never happened before in eternity past. He said, I will not keep what I have. I'll give what I have. To the point where he gave us his righteousness. He took our sin, gave us his righteousness. He gave. And he kept going. And he's still going. He's still working in my life. He's still working in our lives. He's still patient with us. He's still saying, okay, no, that's not the way to go. Go this way. He's still reaching out through you, through other people. He's still reaching out to get the gospel to those who don't know the gospel yet. He's still going. He's keeping at it. And finally, he's lifting up. He is the best encourager ever. Barnabas was pretty good at it, okay? But there's something a little irreligious about calling God Barnabas. I don't know that. Okay. But God is the one. Jesus is the one who has lifted us up. I don't know about you, but I've often wondered, what would my life be like if Jesus hadn't gotten the gospel to me and changed me as a kid? I'm very confident that I would not have the life that I do now. He has not only lifted me up in this world, but he's lifted me up in glory as well. Right now, you may think that I'm here at Firm Foundation School. Right now, I'm in heaven. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. And I get to look down on everybody. No. I get to look down on everything. I have a different perspective because he's lifted me up. And you know what? He's not through lifting us up. There's going to be a time. Amen? There's going to be a time when he comes and he lifts us up and he takes us to be with him forever. Now that's an encourager. Amen? So I want you to look at these five steps here. And not only think about Barnabas, but think about Jesus. What is he asking of you today to do to become a better encourager to the body of Christ? Now, don't be, just be generic and say, well, he wants me to do all five of those things. We know that. But why don't you just have a little dialogue with him and let him highlight one of these things that this week you could do one of these things. You could step up to something that you've been hesitant to step up to. You could seek out. You could invite other people into something that you're engaged in. You can give of your time, of your talent, your treasure, your testimony. You can give to other people. You can keep at it. Don't stop. Keep on going. And then you can put other people in front of you. You can lift up other people as being more important than yourself. I want to ask that you would pray a specific prayer based around one of these five things. I'll give you just about 30 seconds in silence to pray. And in one sense, I don't care if you pray or not. But in another sense, I deeply care. Okay? I really care that you would grab hold of one of these things and you would take steps to become more like Barnabas, more like Jesus in one of these ways. So you take about 30 seconds and just have a little conversation with Jesus and tell him that you'll respond the way he wants you to. Father, would you help us and would you help me become more and more of an encourager? Help us to remember Joe, Barnabas, who was just, in a sense, an average guy who, because he responded to you, became an extraordinary guy. Would you help us as very average people just take steps? Just do these some small steps to be an encourager so that there's more of the kingdom of God here in this world because of what we do this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dennis. And we want to take some time now to respond in worship. So if you'd sing with me, we want to sing about the goodness of God. Love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my
of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Love your voice. You have led me through the fire, darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, let's stand as we close out our time today, and we're going to sing this song, The Way.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, that you are my portion, and you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take. I believe that you are provider, that you are protector, and you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. And it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today. The mercy is that a new home. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. And it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, you are the truth, you're the life, you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything else that you are, Lord. We're so grateful for you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for this time to hear from you through your word. Thank you for this time in worship and in fellowship, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would be blessed as your church, as your kids worship you, Lord. We praise you, we thank you, we give you all the glory, Jesus, and pray these things in your name. Amen.
And encouraging us. I was thinking that Dennis and Wade had been talking for weeks when Wade finished that sermon off with, "I will sing of the goodness of God." What an appropriate song of how good our God is, and what a privilege it is to serve him. So thank you again for that. We're sending some folks up on a kind of a short-term mission up to Whatcom County, a disaster relief. So we're going to have prayer for them afterwards. Ron and Mark DeFrancisco and I think Michelle Sigler are going. That's a thumbs up. So if you feel like joining and just sending them off, I think Tuesday they're headed up in prayer, please join afterwards. If you're in need of prayer, we've got chaplains. If you'd like to enjoy communion, we've got that in the back as well. And with that, let me close us out with our benediction. May you walk in the Spirit, in spirits, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by the love for God and others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus overflow in you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. Amen.